JC Corcoran Podcast.
But I just
you see yourself living in St. Louis 30 years from now?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah, because of Sam's career and mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even at 62?
Karen Kelly in the Breakfast Club. It has a nice ring.
Who's this on the Wolfman telephone? Hello.
Is this about the apartment on Kings Highway?
Is this about the what?
Apartment.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a two-bedroom.
Uh-huh.
The shower works fine.
Uh-huh.
And what other questions do you have?
How much is it a month?
$750.
I mean, is it all? It includes
heat, electric, air conditioning, and don't let the smell bother you. It hasn't bothered the last two or three people who have lived there. We're not sure it was a skunk. Most people, when they guess, they say skunk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it doesn't bother most people.
Okay.
Now, the guy above you,
uh-huh,
he was never convicted.
Okay.
And there's only one other problem.
Uh-huh, Nick.
My pet dog, Sparky, I can't keep him anymore, and he has to stay in the apartment.
In the apartment that I'm
Yes, in fact, I'll tell you what. I'll knock off $100 if you continue to watch Sparky for me.
All right.
You want to think about it, or?
$650.
So
you know what? $600. If you watch Sparky, $600.
All right.
When can you move in?
On the first of the month.
All right. Now, you sure about Sparky?
I'm fine.
You sure about that? I don't know. Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, take it easy. Sparky, down, boy.
Is he a mean dog?
Sparky, down, boy. Sparky, down, boy. If you don't make eye contact, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Okay. All right, let me put you on hold. We'll get right back to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The hell is going on?
As long as you don't make eye contact.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, July 25, 2022. 110 days remaining in our democratic system of government, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? Back in the saddle again. Here's JC at jconline.com. Hi, everybody. All right. I was talking about this on Facebook yesterday, my Facebook page, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Just about the time you think to yourself, we got some real superstars here, some great guys, two guys in particular who look like they're going to be longtime Cardinals, who are tremendous offensive and defensive players, and also seem like great guys off the field. And just about the time we have ourselves talked into that, it turns out they're both knuckleheads. We're talking about Nolan Arenado, and we're talking about Paul Goldschmidt, who will not be making the trip to the Great White North for games tomorrow and Wednesday because they're not vaccinated. Cardinals have been keeping this from us all along, and it turns out they're not vaccinated, and in Canada, you can't get in if you're not vaccinated. Nolan Arenado said that he didn't get vaccinated because he and his wife are thinking about starting a family, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything. And they said that Paul Goldschmidt was going to talk after the game yesterday, and I didn't hang around to watch it, so I don't know what his lame, stupid reason is. But they're succumbing to disinformation. There isn't any data at all. No data at all indicating that somebody who's trying to start a family runs any sort of risk whatsoever, or that the baby runs any sort of risk whatsoever. It's all just stupid stuff that they pick up from the internet, and I can't even begin to register my degree of disappointment in hearing that these two guys are anti-vaxxers. So on top of it, we lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati, who I believe has automatically been mathematically eliminated from playoff baseball. 3 hits again for the Cardinals yesterday. 3 hits. They had 2 men on in the 7th, and Kisner just grounds out. The game is in reach going into the top of the ninth inning. It's like, all right, look, we got the meat of our order. Look who it is. It's Arenado. It's Goldschmidt. And look at this. We got a chance. We could still win this thing. All three guys who came to the plate in the ninth inning popped out in foul territory. All three of them. Oh, yeah, here's Goldschmidt. It was not an easy decision over this year plus that this happened. I've tried to talk to as many doctors and professionals as I could, figuring it out as much as I could, and I decided the potential risks outweighed the benefits of doing it. That's bullshit, Paul. Because there isn't any doctor who's going to tell you not to get vaccinated. There are no doctors who tell you that. And this is when you know we're paying athletes too much. Because of this decision, they have to forfeit their salaries for those two games. So Arenado coughs up $384,000, and it costs Goldschmidt $285,000. Oh, and look at this. Assistant hitting coach Turner Ward also will not make the trip to Toronto with the team. Ali Marmol said Ward has a, get this, a medical condition incompatible with the COVID-19 vaccine. What the fuck does that mean? And Arenado says, here's the quote, I would probably consider taking the vaccine, especially if it's a chance to play in the World Series. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Again, what's that got to do with anything? You don't want to take the vaccine to play in a regular season game, but you would take it for a postseason game. That doesn't even make any sense. And then Goldschmidt says, it's a very personal, private medical decision, and unfortunately, it becomes public with this. I think you've got to put your health above everything. For me, it was the best decision for my health, and I'll have to suffer the consequences. Yes, Paul, you will. You just went from, as I said, a guy along with Arenado who we thought maybe, I don't like to use the word heroes when it comes to sports. I think sports hero is a really stupid thing to even say. Playing baseball and getting paid millions upon millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and playing as well as you can so you don't lose your job is not heroism. It's just one of those things that people say, oh, he's one of my sports heroes. Well, I think it's time we stop saying that. You know who's probably the biggest hero in your life? Probably your mother or your father or both. Ugh. Well, as I've been saying the last few years, I've discovered that just because somebody can hit a baseball 450 feet or, you know, sink a three-pointer when the game is on the line or score a goal or kick a winning field goal or whatever, does not necessarily make that person a good guy. Or an interesting guy. I just look at it as a bonus. When an entertainer of any kind, whether it's a sports figure or a comedian or a music star or whatever, actor, whatever it is, when that person turns out to be an interesting and nice and a good person, that's just a bonus. But they're doing their jobs. These things are jobs like any job anybody else would have. It's just that a high-profile job like that is just seen as being special because we've assigned special qualities to it. And again, we're getting great highlights, you know, a 2-home run game or something like that. But at the end of the day, you end up losing the game. Thank God Milwaukee's not, you know, on fire these days. We're still 2.5 games back. Have a nice day. Speaking of COVID and disinformation and stuff like that. This guy, Alex Jones, the guy who yells and screams and is the conspiracy theorist and the Sandy Hook denier, big write-it-out fat guy who just yells and screams. Last year, he made $56 million. $56 million. Oh, God, what is this?
Breaking
oh, Jesus. Laura Henniger's knocked up. God's sakes. The news people on the set on Channel 4 are running around hugging each other. That baby is going to be born with makeup on its face. You fucked your husband. Big deal. Congratulations.
Feeling okay?
I am.
Okay.
And I was so nervous going in with this shift. What is it going to be like?
Right.
I think this shift trained me.
My body's so confused anyway.
Yeah, you'll be ready.
Hopefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Yeah, and to Mark. Exciting. Mark, I hope you're watching now, buddy. Congratulations. We'll give you like air hugs right now and real hugs the next time we see you.
That's a stunner.
I wonder what happens to fake tits when you get pregnant. And the first thing that happens is your boobs start swelling out. Those things are going to be enormous. See, Laura forgot that when she got the job at Channel 4, she had posted a long time ago, she had posted some of the videos of her doing the news at some TV stations before she got the job in St. Louis, all before she had her boob job. So, you know, I'm not making any critical statements here. I'm just telling you what she's already proven is a very, very obvious boob job. She's not the only one, you know, but I find it hilarious because from time to time I have taken shots at Laura Hediger because she's Laura Hediger and she does and says some of the stupidest things I've ever seen on TV. For some reason, and it's probably because she's just been there so long, for some reason, people love her and women especially argue with me and they go, she's so real. Right. That's what it was. See, that's what I was missing. She's so real. So the fact her hair is practically black underneath the bleach blonding, and because she had a boob job, and because she wears makeup that's so thick, she starts to look like a Madame Tussauds wax figure, and high heels, so she looks taller. Yeah, you're right. She's so real. My favorite meme from over the weekend. It's a picture. It's a picture of a really, really fat hippo, a hippopotamus. And it says, what do we learn from hippopotamuses? That it's impossible to reduce weight by eating greens and salads and walking. Thank you. My friend Suzanne sent that to me. She lives in Orlando, but she's from St. Louis. And we dated a long time ago. She's a lot younger than me. And if you're saying you didn't need to point that out, JC, we knew. Hey, shut up. I dated girls my own age. Anyhow, she used to work with Bill and Doug Kincaid. They were the puppeteers who they did DB Delight. DB's Delight, is that what it was? And they were the guys who made a lot of those like Six Flags characters. They made those costumes. And because they were really, really good at it, somehow they ended up down in Orlando working for Disney doing the same thing, making these giant, you know, and as time has gone on, some of those costumes and those giant heads and like Fred Bird's head and stuff like that, you know, those things start getting really sophisticated. There's a fan in the snout, by the way, of Fred Bird's head that blows air, albeit just hot air, but at least it's something. You know, you go to a ball game in a pair of shorts, flip-flops, and a tank top, and these guys are running around inside that Fred Bird suit. I still don't know how they do it. I have no idea. I dropped dead after about 30 seconds running around on the field in the heat and humidity of St. Louis in the summer. I don't know how they do it. But anyhow, Suzanne, who ended up coming down to Orlando, meets a guy who's also from St. Louis. They end up winning a radio station contest, and they end up getting their entire wedding paid for by getting married on a billboard in Orlando, Florida, that the radio station put together. They put together the entire thing. Some people wouldn't do something like that, you know? Some people wouldn't do something like that. They did, and they're happy as clams. That's another thing we say. I've been thinking a lot about stuff like that lately. Things that we say that you wonder, well wait a minute. What evidence do we have that a clam is happy? Are we just saying that? I don't say God bless you anymore after somebody sneezes because it's stupid. It's based on the idea that in, I don't know if I would say ancient times, but people thought that a sneeze coming out of your head at 100 miles an hour was, you know, something that was dangerous to your health. So if you sneezed and didn't die, which nobody does anyhow, people would say, God bless you. Like, whoa, that was close, huh? Again, makes no sense. We know that it makes no sense, but we still go around saying it in the year 2022, and it's dumb. Three foul outs, the meat of your order in the top of the ninth inning. I'm still pissed.
pissed about that. We're going to have football again starting next year, assuming that nothing else gets in the way of the XFL, like, oh, I don't know, a pandemic. The Battlehawks apparently will be coming back. St. Louis, one of the cities chosen, no surprise there, given the fact that the, I guess you would say, the response to football back in St. Louis was, I think it was more successful than any other XFL team. Oh, and as far as the NFL is concerned, training camps begin day after tomorrow. Time finally caught up with Vince McMahon. He has stepped down from the whatever it is. It was the WWF, and now it's the WWE. I wish I knew something about it so I could explain why that changed. But anyhow, he officially retired on Friday amid allegations he paid hush money to several women over affairs and sexual misconduct, claims his daughter Stephanie will take his place. Here we go again. Tom Morello got knocked down by a security guard during Rage Against the Machine's show on Saturday. The guy was chasing a fan who jumped up on stage. Morello got back up. He played. He was fine. Joni Mitchell surprised the shit out of everybody at the Newport Folk Festival. She joined Brandi Carlile on stage for two songs. Paul Simon also did a surprise performance of four songs. A new poll said people would rather have a picture with a celebrity than an autograph by a margin of 49% to 7%. But people over the age of 65 are most likely to want neither. Netflix is going to start testing a new plan that lets users add additional homes to their accounts. You'll be able to add up to three. It'll cost about $2 to $3. No word yet on when it might happen in these here United States. Late night tonight, Kevin Hart. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel is still off at the summer Paris Hilton in a repeat with guest host Chelsea Handler. Colbert has got Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin, who's on the January 6th committee, and Rhea Seehorn on with Seth Meyers. Dave Chappelle, surprise opener for Kevin Hart and Chris Rock at a show at Madison Square Garden a couple of days ago. Opening box office, $44 million for Nope. And Bill Murray, who's like, I don't know if he's in every Wes Anderson movie, but he's in a lot of them, but he had to drop out of the new one because Bill has COVID. Production on the Justified revival was halted when two cars crashed onto the Chicago set with the occupants shooting at each other. Yeah, let's go shoot in Chicago in the middle of the night. It'll be fun. Come on. The first test tube baby. And I remember I was alive for this. A lot of us were 44 years ago. And it was, you know, fodder for the comedians. And that just hurt the whole idea more and more. You know, some people have difficulty conceiving. And so some doctor came along and said, look, here, let's do this. Let's take the eggs in one test tube and take the sperm in the other test tube. And then let's put them together ourselves and shake it up. Shake it up real good and then re-implant it in the mother's womb and see if the sucker grows. And it did, and a lot of babies have been conceived. And they used to say, a test tube baby, you got a womb with a view. Hey, that was big stuff in the 70s, okay? That's big stuff. That and Dolly Parton tit jokes. Hey, you know why Dolly Parton shops for her bras at the Datsun dealer? It's the only place she can get a 280Z. Good morning, Fond du Lac at 725. Anyhow, Louise Brown, the first test tube baby, 44 years old today. By the way, she's had two babies on her own that she conceived naturally. Matt LeBlanc from Friends, 55. Iman, David Bowie's widow, 67. You Can't Hurry Love, great song by the Supremes, released on this date in 1966. Caddyshack, released, starring Bill Murray, released on this date in 1980, 42 years ago today. There are stories that on the professional golf tour, there are guys, professional golfers, who travel with a DVD of Caddyshack, and they just sit there and watch it over and over and over again. Roseanne, 32 years ago. Take it away, you little songbird.
Oh, no!
and then she spit, and then she grabbed her crotch, and then her career went on hold for a little while. 23 years ago today, 1999, the overcrowded Woodstock 99 music festival in Rome, New York, ended in fires, looting, and multiple sexual assaults. And it was 23 years ago today, 1999, that Lance Armstrong rode to victory in the Tour de France on one testicle and quite a few performance enhancers. I love Sheryl Crow. I love her a lot. I love so many of her songs. But boy, she's got shitty taste in men. I can fix that, Cheryl. I can fix that. Talk about gas prices. They're down significantly. You know, we drove from St. Louis to Atlanta, stayed in Atlanta for 2 days, and then continued on back to Florida over the weekend, and we saw everything. In St. Louis, at the DePere Costco, I paid, I think it was $3.45. I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook. I think it was $3.45 is the lowest I saw. Saw a couple of 347s, stuff like that. Don't try to buy gas in Illinois. It's not a good idea. They got extra taxes and refinery issues and stuff like that. And then you get into the deep south. It was like, you know, 386, but we also saw 366 just outside of Atlanta. And then you get back to Florida, 389, 399. But at least it's under $4 and it appears to be coming down. I'd like to talk a little bit about driving. Somebody want to tell me what's going on? Because I'm not talking about a couple or dozens. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that we had to pass on the right side who are parked in the passing lane. Some people call it the fast lane. We have the Eagles to thank for that. But it isn't the fast lane. It's the passing lane. And that's what it's supposed to be used for. At the absolute minimum, unless you are driving a car that represents the fastest of the cars that are on the highway at that time, you are not supposed to be in the passing lane. And yet, people enter the highway, they scurry right over to the passing lane, and in a couple of instances, you know, we're talking about 100, 150 miles where you would keep running into this car, not physically running into it, but encountering it, and just some guy who is in his own world is going, you know, 74 in the passing lane. And the cops, I think, are as much to blame for this because they're not enforcing it. You know, the easiest thing to do is to write a ticket for somebody who is speeding. It takes no talent. It takes no special skills in law enforcement to be able to say you were speeding. Because speeding in only very rare cases, when you're going over the speed limit, in only rare cases does it present danger. Now, if you're going 100 miles an hour and everybody else is going 60, yeah. But if you're on a highway where the speed limit is, say, 70 miles an hour, and you're going 80, that probably is not going to hurt anybody. But completely distorting the purpose of highway travel by parking yourself in the passing lane, making people go around you to the right, which is very, very dangerous because people, well, I don't have to explain it to normal people, to people who know this already, but did they stop teaching this in driver's ed or something? Because it used to be only certain states. I remember Wisconsin, just terrible, just terrible. Now, people who are true Wisconsinites will tell you that they do it on purpose because they don't like people coming in from Chicago and driving fast when they're going up to the resorts in like Door County or wherever it is they're going up there. So somehow they've figured out that that's the best way to deal with it, to just not get out of the passing lane, frustrate people from the Chicago area, and maybe make them go home and not come back again. Where will I get my cheese curds? And then Texas, also very, very bad for that. But now it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I don't know if people are doing it on purpose or if everybody's doing it for the same reason, for that matter. All I know is it's wrong. It's illegal. It's supposed to be illegal, but like I said, the cops aren't enforcing it. And it is very dangerous. And it just makes you want to kill. It makes you want to kill. Everybody's so surprised that there's such an increase in road rage cases. Well, start enforcing the fucking law, and maybe you won't have as many, because it is one of the things that will really, really drive you nuts to the point where you do want to take the life of another human being. You know, the first time I had ever really traveled in the Deep South, yeah, I'd been there for weekends, you know, like going into Louisiana for a football game when I was in college, when I was doing play-by-play for the college radio station. Or you go to Atlanta because there's a playoff game, the Cardinals are involved, and we would travel. But the first time I ever really encountered the real Deep South, where you were like going through neighborhoods and things like that, or, you know, because there, in a couple of cases, we were driving from St. Louis to Gulf Shores, Alabama. And trust me, I had very mixed emotions about spending money in the state of Alabama. But people kept saying, you're not going to believe how beautiful the beaches are in Gulf Shores. It's like, all right, let's go and try it. So we did that twice. And sometimes you encounter a situation where there's a massive tie-up on the highway or a big accident or something like that, and you're looking at your travel thing, your travel app, and it's like, stay the hell away from this. And it's like, whoa, where's this thing taking us? Now, you're going through, like I said, local streets and thoroughfares and things that are the equivalent of Manchester Road or Forest Park Parkway, but in the Deep South, and you're seeing things that you never saw before, and it really registers with you. It really registers with you because there's so much poverty and there's so many people living down there, you can see, that just don't have any opportunity of any kind. There's just nothing. And in some cases, people are living in shacks that you know, would be condemned in any other set of circumstances. And you see, you know, road signs for cities like Jackson, Mississippi, and Mobile, Alabama. Cities that all I knew about them were that they were civil rights landmarks and places where things happened in the 50s and 60s that you read about in history class. Now you're driving through it and you're seeing it with your own two eyes, and it will really, really wake you up. Which brings us to St. Louis. Now, here's the thing. I split my time between St. Louis and Florida. The original plan when we came down here 2.5 years ago was to be back every 2 or 3 months, take care of business, radio station stuff, and then the pandemic hit, and that screwed everything up, and we ended up not being able to come back for reasons that should be obvious at this time. But now, you know, things have lifted a little bit. Whether that's a good idea is debatable right now, but anyhow, that's what is happening. Now, the only problem is you get on the plane, you leave Florida, and as the plane's taking off, you're looking down going, am I sure I want to do this? Could we turn this around? I think I'm rethinking this. And then, of course, you land at the airport there in Muscoota, Belleville, if you prefer, and you get out and everything. And you come back. We came back for Christmas. Everything is just dead. Everything is brown and gray, and there's no leaves on the trees. There's no color, and it's cold, and it just looks terrible. And then you get in your rental car and you start driving towards St. Louis, and especially if you come over and then take 70 into North County, what you see when you're coming in from Illinois is really, really awful. Yeah, there's the Arch and there's the downtown and everything like that. The weeds are grown really high in places in downtown St. Louis, especially around the Dome, where it's like, I don't even know who's running the Dome. And I don't know if anybody is running the Dome anymore, but it's just really tall weeds and high grass. And this is what people are seeing. This is some of the first things that people see when they come to the St. Louis area if they're coming in from the Illinois side. If you take 40 in, it's a little better, but if you take 70, it's really, really sad. And all these bombed out brown buildings with the broken windows and the graffiti on the sides. And if you think I'm talking about the east side, I'm not. I'm talking about St. Louis. And then if you're leaving the ballpark and you've got to go 70 into North County, well, they have all that construction there. And so you have to drive along northbound sort of parallel to 70. And especially if it's at night, you're driving along going, am I going to get shot in the fucking head here just trying to get on 70 because traffic has been diverted and you've got to go through what is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, a little bit of a scary neighborhood there. And you're driving along and finally you make it onto 70. And you're like, whew, that was close. We shouldn't be having to deal with stuff like that. I've said this multiple times. I'll say it again. Sometimes it's necessary to take a step back and a step away and maybe even have a little time away to be able to see something for its true essence. And there's a lot of people, you know, I met with an awful lot of people in the 2 weeks that we were in town this time. And I just, you know, was running around talking to everybody. And because I have the St. Louis television stations on my monitors right here in front of me, and they're on all day. And I read the paper, and I just, you know, I'm very up on what is going on in St. Louis, even though I don't live there full time anymore. But I really keep my eye on things. I think it's important. But I just want to know anyhow. But I especially need it for the job. It would be stupid if I sat here for a half an hour every day trying to talk to people in St. Louis, not talking about what's going on in St. Louis. So it's really, really important for me to know what is happening. I think I've done a very, very good job. That having been said, you don't get a real feel for things unless you got your feet on the ground on a regular basis. And because of COVID, it's been a little longer than I would have liked. But I'll tell you this, not coming back in cold weather anymore. You know, when you get out of the city, you get out of the sort of urban area, and you start driving around, you are reminded, or at least I am in my case, reminded of how beautiful the state of Missouri is. You say, you know, there isn't a topographical change in the state of Florida outside the speed bump in the Wendy's parking lot, okay? Now you come to Missouri and you're driving along, especially if you're down around like in DeSoto or something like that, and there's all these little lakes and you've got these bluffs, and you're even Fenton, because when we went down to Stuckmeyer's to get peaches and tomatoes and corn and stuff like that and see my friend Phil and Janet, and it's just wonderful. And you're driving along and you're like, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. The rolling hills and just all the trees and the greeneries. It's just gorgeous. But if your metropolitan area, which is supposed to be the nucleus of your metropolitan area, if that is sick, the whole region is sick. It starts messing with the tax base. It starts screwing up everything. When I got to St. Louis in 1984, market number 18. Now, and people are surprised to hear this because it just fell another notch, St. Louis now market number 26. Very much looking like it, especially when it comes to media. I'll tell you something else about that. When I stream the TV stations, like I said, I can just go like right here, right now.
Raging wildfires in California. Yeah,
there's Channel 4. Okay. So, but what you don't get is the commercials. They got this thing rigged so that you'll see the news, but when they go to commercial, they cover it with something else. So when you get to St. Louis and you're actually watching TV there, you're sitting there going, they're still doing these fucked up Glendale, Chrysler, Plymouth, Jeep commercials with that goofy family. And whoever produces those things should be shot. There's no, they got high ceilings in a tile kitchen. Nobody's individually mic'd. The kids have terrible diction. Only thing that makes any sense, the only thing that makes any sense is that they're so bad. You started to get into like Steve Miserani territory where the commercials are so awful that they are, that people remember them. And so even though they're embarrassingly awful, they still work maybe, but you better like baseball and hockey, and you better like Italian food, and you better like being outside when the weather is warm, because outside of that, I'm not sure what St. Louis has anymore. And I get no pleasure out of saying that. And in fact, it really hurts to have to say it. But I don't lie to you, you know? I don't lie to you. I've been doing this for close to 40 years every morning, and this would be a dumb time to start lying to you. And this Josh Hawley stuff is not helping. Because when you turn on national TV, like Colbert or Kimmel or something like that, and they're making jokes about your guy, and the whole place is booing, I'm not sure that's a good thing. And now Hawley says he's not going to cower, run from, or bend the knee to liberals. No, he only does that when he's chased by his own people. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can for Monday, July 25th, 2022, 110 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We're here with the podcast every weekday morning, just a little bit after 7 o'clock at jcontheline.com. Thank you for spreading the word. Follow me on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. You can email me, JC@JCOnTheLine. Have a great day, everybody. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.